The children of Israel had pitched their tents in the plains of Moab, near the Jordan, opposite Jericho. This was their last camping site before entering the Promised Land. God spoke to Moses again and told him to give a message to the Israelites. "Say to them," said the Lord, "when you cross the Jordan into Canaan, drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you. Destroy all their carved images and their idols, and demolish all their high places." God knew that if the Israelites did not destroy every vestige of pagan worship, they would end by becoming pagans themselves. Idolaters and every trace of their idolatry were to be rooted out if the nation was to remain faithful to the Lord. Otherwise, God would have to treat them as he was now treating the Canaanites. The Lord gave Moses the boundaries of the Promised Land, which included all the regions between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. He indicated the frontiers lying to the north, south, east, and west of the country they were to conquer. He told Moses that the land they were going to possess was to be assigned to the Israelites by lot. All the families were to receive a share. The larger tribes and families were to be given a larger inheritance, and the smaller ones a smaller possession. "Whatever falls to them by lot will be theirs," said the Lord. The allotment was to be done by Eleazar the high priest and Joshua son of Nun, with one leader from each tribe to help them. The tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh would have no share in the land of Canaan, as they had already received their inheritance on the east bank of the Jordan. As for the Levites, they would not receive a portion of the land like the other tribes, but 48 towns with pasture lands around them, lying on both sides of the Jordan, were to be assigned to them. These were to be taken out of the inheritance of the other tribes. The Levites were to live in these cities, and the pasture lands around them would be grazing ground for their flocks and herds. 6 of these towns were to be cities of refuge, 3 on each side of the Jordan. Anyone, Israelite or alien, who had killed another accidentally would be able to flee to one of these cities of refuge. They were to be given the right of sanctuary and protected from any act of vengeance. But asylum would be granted only to the person who had taken someone's life unintentionally. All convicted murderers were to be put to death, but only on the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. One witness was not enough to sentence a man to death. Now Moses had been the leader of the children of Israel for 40 years, and his task was almost done. God had told Moses that he would not cross the Jordan to enter into the land that the children of Israel were to possess, because he had not obeyed God's orders nor honored him when he struck the rock to bring out water for the Israelites at Meribah in the desert. However, the Lord told Moses that he would be able to view the land from afar, from the top of a mountain. Moses wondered what would become of the children of Israel when he was no longer there to lead them, and he asked God to choose someone else to take his place. "May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over this community," he said, "one who will lead them, so that the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." The Lord said, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Give him some of your authority, so that the whole Israelite community will obey him." Joshua's real name was Hosea, which means save or salvation. But Moses had given him the name of Joshua, meaning the Lord saves. He was from the tribe of Ephraim, of the house of Joseph. During the 40 years of wandering in the desert, he had been Moses' helper and associate. He was a military leader who had already led the Israelites to victory against the Amalekites. Throughout his life, he had shown courage and loyalty, and an unshakable faith in God. Moses took Joshua and made him stand before Eleazar the high priest and the whole assembly. He laid his hands on him and commissioned him to lead the people into the Promised Land. So Moses publicly acknowledged Joshua as his successor, according to the Lord's command. Next episode, the book of Deuteronomy.